Okay, so the Dim Tshuva. And I'm starting with something, and then we'll see where we end up. But this is a question my brother asked me. It says, a bay is bays in the Hilchos Tshuva. It's famous. Famous classic Rama. Okay, probably the most famous in Hilchos Tshuva. Uma hi ha teshuva. What is the Tshuva? Okay, because he was discussing before, Tshuva Gemura is if a person gets in the same situation of the Chayt and doesn't do it because of Tshuva, then that's Tshuva Gemura. That's the highest Tshuva. Which I'm not going to go into that now. But now he says, oh, well, what is Tshuva? Okay, he doesn't do it because of the Tshuva. What Tshuva? What is Tshuva? What is this Tshuva of which we speak? So he says like this. Hu sheya'azov achotechata, that the sinner leaves his sin, his or her sin, v'yasirenu machashavto, and he removes it from his thoughts, v'yigmar v'liva shalayaseyod, and he concludes in his heart, mind, whatever, that he won't do it again. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, yazov rosha dako, v'yish aven machrosav, the sinner, the rasha, should leave his way, and the corrupt, crooked person should leave his thoughts. V'yashav el Hashem v'yachameyo, and he'll return to God, and he will take mercy on him. V'okinu kiyar el Zlach, return to God, because he's abundantly merciful. Abundantly forgiving. Okay. So it sounds like so far three steps. Yazav echotechato, you leave the chayt. Yisrael machshavto, you stop thinking about it. You conclude that you're not going to do it again. So David's question was, what's the difference between the first step and the third step? Yazav echotechata means you leave it. And you conclude that you're not going to do it again. Isn't that the same thing as leaving it? What does leaving it mean if you're not that you're not going to do it again? Right? What does it mean if I'm going to do it again, could you really say I left it? What does it mean I left it? I didn't leave it then. Right?
Is it consecutive steps?
It would seem that way. Not clear. It's not 100% clear that they're three steps in order, but it would seem so. I mean, the pasuk says, it's not clear. You could argue both ways. You know? But there are definitely three distinct things. You're asking, are they necessarily like chronological, like one after the other, or maybe they could be mixed around the order. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not clear. It's not.
I also thought it was always kind of funny that it says V.S.U. when we're on the shop, though.
Yes.
Because, like, what's the difference if he fantasizes about sinning? Like, that makes him a bad person? I mean,
Who cares?
I'm not sure. You think it wouldn't, doesn't really matter.
Right, who cares if you think
and that is, like, juxtaposed in the middle of, like, two steps that do seem to be consecutive.
Right. Sure. Not like that, how are you supposed to stop yourself from thinking about it? What's supposed to do? I mean, thought control, how are you supposed to force yourself not to think about something?
Yeah, like
force yourself
really
not to act.
Like thought control in general.
Right.
Like,
right. Look, am I supposed to do it? Think about it. But I'm not going to do it. So what do you mean? How am I supposed to? First of all, what's wrong with it? And even if there is something wrong with it, what is it supposed to do? I can't control what I think of it because it's my thoughts. Right?
Well, I heard something interesting once. That like, you can't control the first thought that comes into your head, but you can control all the consecutive thoughts. So, like, if you're thinking about something, you could stop yourself. You could read, you could do something else, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know if that has anything to do with this, but
right. Right, I mean, you can't stop from popping into your head.
Yeah.
But then are you going to engage the thought, or are you going to dismiss the thought? So, I mean, that you can control. Change your stopping no matter. I mean, that's like a decision. You could decide to act or not to act. You could decide to continue thinking, or you could decide to distract yourself. Okay. That's good. So that's good, but it doesn't answer my question, but it doesn't answer Haley's question. Right? Like, why would you want to do that? Why is that important? Who cares? Right? She's assuming I could do it, but why should I care to do it? Right? Why is it relevant? Why is it important? By the way, he continues onwards, but in the correct versions, and that one I think has it also, this is a separate halacha. The halacha ends here. At that point, and then Mechain is the new halacha. Okay? Right in yours also, it has like a new.
Yeah, that's another paragraph.
Yeah, that means it's a new halacha. So they somehow shoved them together. But we might as well read it. We'll read it, but it's, you know, in analyzing it, It's like, I think there's three steps, and now v'chein, and also, nu alacha, and also, yisnachem al shavar. You should have regret about the past. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, ki acharei shuvi nichamti, after I do tshuva, I regret it. V'acharei vadi, safakti ayorech, after I acknowledged it, I hit my thigh, something like that. I lost that, something like that. You know, it's like you're regretting about the past. Fine. So that's one thing. He says, v'chein, additionally, you should regret it. After, it's interesting, after you do tshuva. Wouldn't you think regret would be beforehand? It's kind of like funny to be after. Then he says, v'yadol av'yadeh telumos, and the God, the knower of secrets, will testify about him. That he will not return to this state forever. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, they will no longer say, "You're my God," to the work of their handiwork. I forget exactly how the pasuk translates. It's a little bit cryptic, but whatever. It's just saying that they're not going to say that, and that God is saying they're not going to do it again. It's sort of fine. So that's the second thing which he's adding on, that God will testify that he's never going to do it again. Which is interesting. What is that adding to the fact that he says he's Yigbar Liba? You already said that, right? He concludes that he's not going to do it again. Well, this is like some additional thing. God testifies. What's that doing? And then he says, V'tzorech l'zvados, v'svasa. You have to confess with your lips. Lomar and Yanasei Lashigomar Beliba, to say these things that you conclude. Okay? Enunciate it. And Vidoi. Right? And Vidoi. You should spell out these thoughts. Okay? Now let's read one more halacha. Okay? Kolam is Vada B'dvarim. Anyone who enunciates in words, Lashigomar Beliba Lazov, and doesn't have conclusive thoughts to leave the chay, to abandon it. It's similar to somebody who goes in a mikvah while they're holding a bug, a sheretz, which makes one tameh. It's not that the tefillah is not going to help him until he throws away the bug. Because you're underwater, the mikvah is a force of cleansing, but the sheretz is a force of tumah, so he's never going to become tameh. Tar, I mean. Right? V'chein ha'omer, u'mode ve'ozev yirucham. Okay, it says, u'mode, and someone who admits, ve'ozev, and leaves it, yirucham. God will have rachmanasan. Right, so it's saying is, if you do tshuva, if you enunciate the words, and you say, I'm not going to do this, or I did sins, and blah, 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 whatever you're going to say, that you don't have in mind, you don't conclude that you're leaving it, so then it's like you're still holding on to the bug. You're still holding on to the shara, you're still holding on to the vera. So what are the words worth? Nothing. They're just words. Right? It's like you're going to the mikvah, you're not halfway tahar. You're not tahar at all. The thing is your words are empty, just empty words. Lip service about you, but without an internal commitment to the thing. Is not worth anything until you throw it away. Okay. And then he says one more thing. It's lefar as a chait. You have to spell out the chait. Specify. So it's like by the egel. It's not sure it was specified. Okay. Fine. So just some overview. So let's get back to the original. Does anyone have any questions on what we just read, or are we good? So, let's get back to the original thing. So what are these three steps? I think we should start with the steps. Okay? Alright, remember that? Ya'azu b'chol techeto, yisrini me'achshavto, b'yigmer b'liva shalei ha'seivot. At least we just finished, we read the end of Beis and Gimel. So you could read it, let me know. Let me know if you need help with something. Oh, it's very good. Hilchos Shuvah, very great. Halacha Beis. Oh, maybe you want to give at least that one, because the halacha breakup is a little funny than the kafa. It's hard to read. So I guess the good question is maybe the first thing. What's the difference? That's a good question. Two questions we have, really, I guess. One is, what does it mean? What's the difference in one and three? Right? You leave the chayin, you know, you do it again. And then what's this deal with the thoughts? What's the problem with the thoughts? And I guess tomorrow's question also, is this some sort of a progression? Or are these just different things?
Say discontinuing the behavior currently, and even let's say like right now in your life, discontinuing the behavior, but like to be resolute never to do it again is really another step. Because I feel like people have a tendency to like for a time discontinue a particular thing, but then you could
regress.
Yeah. Like when the momentum leaves you, and when the energy leaves you with regard to that particular thing, then.
Okay.
Your life circumstances change or whatever.
Right.
But
it does kind of sound like the third thing is some sort of like definitive action. Like maybe like it's different from, you know, maybe you could just be a different person and not be doing that anymore, but maybe there is some other reason and benefit of like specifically making a point that you're not going to do anymore and like thinking about the future and stuff.
You mean if you just have one then you may not be doing it for other reasons, is that what you're saying?
Well, I do think it's possible to have the first one without the third one.
Different than what Rachel is saying, or?
Similar, I think. Because you can stop doing something.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're thinking about making a commitment not to do it anymore.
Okay, well, what do you mean that you stop? And doesn't that mean, like, obviously, like, let's say on Yom Kippur you're doing it. So, obviously, you stop doing it while you're physically on Yom Kippur, right? Like, while you're doing it. But stopping means stopping it. What are you saying then? Stopping means,
well, I feel it's easier if we can give a specific example.
Okay, let's say Lashon Hara.
So, Lashon Hara, yeah. See that. You could decide that even in the moment of speaking Lashon Hara, you could stop,
okay,
and whoever you're speaking to just say, you know what, I think it was inappropriate.
Stop.
Let's
okay.
not talk about this. And, or even like for a week or for a month or for a certain time, you could resolve that you're not going to speak Lashon Hara.
Right. Okay,
but usually if it's that type of commitment, like a temporary one, it takes a lot of energy because in every moment that you're wanting to say something, you have to like go and stop yourself.
Right.
Then there's like a different level of commitment, which is like really to be resolute that you're going to change your personality, really, that you're not a Lashon Hara speaker anymore.
Okay.
So that seems like an extra step that a person would have to take, and it would involve much more than just self, like you exhibiting self-control. It involves like really shifting your whole, Maybe it would involve as much as like analyzing what's motivating you to speak Lashon Hara and trying to resolve that part of your personality or.
Well, let me ask you, is that something other or something additional?
I think it's something other because it's The self-control that a person may use just to temporarily stop a behavior has nothing to do with making a shift in their personality.
So let me ask you, why is, would you say the Rambam's listing three things? Wouldn't they seem to be like choices according to you? Or like, why list the third, the first thing? Just say tshuva is the third. Like, if you need the third thing and it's a different thing altogether from the first, so just say tshuva is the third thing. Why even mention the first thing?
I mean, because then it would be like undermining the virtue involved in this use of self-control.
But, so you mean he's saying you have choices? Like, if you're saying is the third thing is separate.
No, it seems like the complete tshuva really has to involve both.
Both. Like, but now, so that's my question. So if you're doing the third one, then why do you need the first one? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if the third is additional to the first, then I understand. If the third is something other than the first, so then you do the third, then who needs the first? So it's something other. That's nothing. That's a different thing. Not as good. Just do the third. Then why is Ram bringing them both down, you know? You should say the third and say, oh, and if you can't do that, then do the first, or something like that, you know?
Right, right.
But it kind of sounds like you're doing all of them. Right?
Okay. What does it mean to leave a chayt?
Okay. What does that mean to leave a chayt? Good question. Let's see, is there a hint? What's the pasuk he quotes for that? Yazov Rosh Darko. Right? That's interesting. Interesting choice of words. Which word?
What does Yazov mean?
Leave.
Oh, okay. Oh.
That's not that interesting word. What is the interesting word?
Russia,
no? Try again. That is interesting. That is interesting.
I think that is interesting, though.
That is interesting. Agreed. It is interesting. It's not what I was referring to, but it is an interesting word. Yeah. Darko. Good work. Okay. Darko. Why is that interesting?
Because I'll tell you why I think it's interesting.
Okay.
Because it's interesting because, like, when you do a chait, you become, like, attached to your chait, and you obviously, like, enjoy doing it for some reason, and...
You're giving an answer.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Oh.
No, man, you're saying a good answer, but I think sometimes the answers are better if you fully specify the question that you're answering.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So what's the question? What's interesting about Darko means what's...
Like,
questionable
like,
about
it. You don't think of it. My question would be like, you don't think of it as like a derech, like it's a sin. It's a singular like.
Right. Exactly.
Like you don't think of it as like a way of life.
Exactly. What does it mean? Yazir is darko. It should be Yazir rosha cheto or something like that. Well, how did all of a sudden become darko? Right. Yeah. So I did an action. I did a vera. Whatever. What does it mean? Darko. My way. So now your answer.
Oh. I guess it becomes like a way of life. Like you end up living for your sin. Like not really, but like if you think about it, like it's part of your life, you know, and like and the first step is to like break yourself from it, you know, and not and I don't know I mean we can talk about how you do that, but you have an attachment to it and you have to break that attachment somehow.
Right. So like let's take in this example of Nara. It's not just an action, but it's a part of a derech. It's how we live, how we interact with people on a social level. That's what we do, right? I mean, there is such a thing as a one-time avera that you never do ever again. And maybe you could argue that's not darko, but that's usually not the way things are. Usually averas are part of a personality. They stem from certain weaknesses, certain bad midos, flaws, whatever. And there's a derech. It's a derech that we interact with people is that we gain social approval and whatever, knock down the other guy by lashon hara, whatever, something like that. So the first step is, like you're saying, is to stop it, to abandon that derech, right? To abandon that derech. To stop doing it. Now, I think Yechele says, good, now. Stop doing it now. Don't worry about the future yet. This is like right now, you have a daily schedule. Wake up in the morning, you daven, you talk lashon hara, you have a lunch, right? Then that's part of your schedule. It's part of the way you live your life, you know? We don't like to... we don't want to write it down on our list, but like if you're honest about these things, these types of things are, you know? Maybe it's not on a daily schedule, on a weekly schedule, whatever it is, you know? But it's part of our life. It's part of our derech. And in order to do tshuva, we have to change our derech. We have to leave that derech and take up a new derech, right? Cross that off the schedule. Stop it, right? Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that? How hard is that?
In the short term, I don't know if it's that hard.
Okay, right. I mean, it's not easy, but at the same time, it's not super duper hard. It's medium hard. It's like that kind of thing we could do. We could do. And it lasts for like a little bit, and then we end up failing. But at least in the short term, we could do that. Maybe we could even feel guilty and force ourselves to do it. Maybe Yom Kippur could force us to do it. Maybe some life experience that makes us think into things. Whatever. Because that kind of thing could be forced. You could forcibly do that by some force of will, some emotional reaction, some whatever. Because it's just stop. Stop doing it. And whenever you want to, stop. And that kind of could work in the present for a certain amount of time at least. That type of thing could work. That's not the problem. And the difficulties we have in tshuva are not the immediate short term. I mean, that is, certain times it is. But oftentimes we're able to stop something for a short term. Very short sometimes, but short. Okay, so that's a first step. Okay, let's see where we go with this, right? But that certainly seems to be a first step. Now, what's Yasirenu Machshav, though? What's Yasirenu Machshav, though? First of all, what is it? How do you do it? Is it somehow follow on the heels of the first step? And what's the purpose in it? And does it somehow lead to the third step? Okay? What is the third step as opposed to the first, right? It's really like a kind of building a picture. If we go with this, right? So why let's ask the question. Why should you want to remove it from your thoughts? What's wrong with thinking about it?
Well, I think if you think about it, you may end up doing it, you know? Right. There's a danger. Like, right. That's how action occurs. You think about it and then you do it.
Right, for sure. Right, it's hard to imagine the model that you were asking, Rachel, someone who's just always thinking about the state, but just never does it. It's not ordinary for a person to do that. I mean, if it's always on your mind, then, especially if it's a chet that you've done before, and, you know, certain things are just, I would never do that. So you can think about it all day long, but you never can do it because that's beneath you to do or something. But if it's a nachet that you've done, and you know, and now you're supposedly doing tshuva on it, so it's what you have within you to do it. It's not like a taboo, you're never going to do that. You've done it. Now you're thinking about it and thinking about it, you're going to do it. That's just kind of the way in general.
I guess maybe it's only me, but like, I feel like it's very often that I encounter things that, let's say, I can't do, but...
You think about it. But things that you're used to, that you have done, and now you're not doing?
I'll just give an example. Like, the kids want cucumbers on Shabbos. Yeah. They don't want to use a peeler. Yeah. You know, or like...
It's okay if you would eat skin.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sick of this cucumber question, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Because edible is fine.
Well, Aaron told me it's not okay. And really? Here I use a peeler my whole life.
Really?
But like a lot of things like that come up for me, like that. I don't know. You have a pimple. You're just like, oh, I wish I could put on something, you know, or you have a hang nail. You should rip it off. Like a lot of things come up. Like you have this, what's it like, a premonition or like a like a desire almost, and then you have, you know. And I don't think these things are harmful. Like, on the contrary, bringing them to light and seeing that seeing it is a good thing. Like, denying that you have any of these things is a danger in a way. A unless like the average person doesn't encounter these things, then it's only like, I don't know, me. But
right.
Like, I'm not sure how often a person, an average person, like encounters situations where they're like inconvenienced by halacha.
Right.
So therefore they're frustrated.
Right. Well, I don't know that. I'm not sure that that's what, like you said, you originally said it means like fantasizing about it. I hope you don't fantasize about, you know,
no, slicing.
No,
but like, let's say I was trying to obscene
Hara, right?
Let's say there was like some particular area watching Hara that was like really just heated it out or whatever.
Right.
So then, yeah, there would be this like.
Right.
I think if I were trying to abstain, like actively abstain from speaking it, then there would be like this feeling of like, I just want to vent to so and so about.
Right.
Like, I think there wouldn't be that sort of fantasy.
Yeah, I kind of understand, like, in a particular time, a particular moment, or something like that. But in general, I would think is that a person who's like fantasizing all the time about talking Lashon Hara is like also doing it at the same time. I think the way a person
has that much energy going into it.
Yeah, right. That much energy going into it. Look, there's such a thing as a particularly challenging piece of gossip or whatever, and you know. But in general, a person who's doesn't talk Lashon Hara is probably a person who's not fantasizing about it that much.
Right.
Because it means you're fantasizing about it. It means your energy is attached to it. You value it, and what's stopping you from doing it exactly? You know, and it will. The force of will works sometimes. But it just in general, it's not a plan of really being removed from the chayt. It would seem to be, it's just not going to, it doesn't really seem to work. At least for, maybe there's something more to it, but it just seems in general, it's not a stable plan.
But then you're like, excluding this as a valid step in the process.
I'm not saying that.
Because it just doesn't even happen then.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying that there is a value of removing your thoughts from it, because.
But which thoughts are those?
The fantasies
that come about in a specific
case? The fantasies about whatever the chayt was about talking Lashon Hara, the thoughts, the plans. I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell this person this. There's certain, like a person is a Baal Lashon Hara, they're thinking about how they could tell Lashon Hara to the. They're thinking about when they get together with their friends, they can tell them this. So they have all these thoughts, and they're laying about at night. They're thinking about all the different things they could tell all their friends and all the different pieces of this and this and that. That's like a way you think. There's a plan. You plan out how you're going to become popular, how you're going to tell this story and attack that person or whatever. There's thoughts or fantasies about it. If not, if you can't relate to that, think of some other thing. Think of this. If you think about it, you plan it. It's on your mind.
You think so? Or you think a lot of people sin is just like compulsive?
I think people think about it.
Yeah, it probably depends on the particular thing.
Like a Russia, I feel like, thinks about it. Like a Lashon Hara speaker. Being as I am one. I don't tell them who I'm going to speak to next. It's just like a fluttering of your lips. Like you're on the contrary. It's like not thought about at all.
Right.
I think if you're not like an evil person, then you don't think about it that much. It just like happens. It's a social thing. Like you said before, it's like it really is a social thing. It's like you're with somebody, unconsciously you want to come across a certain way, but then you want to talk about, it's like really not.
Right, I understand. But I guess it depends on the nature of the Baal Lashon Hara. Like, there's different Baal Lashon Hara. You sound like a conflicted Lashon Hara speaker. You know, like the gossiper, for instance. If you take the model of a gossiper.
Right.
You know, like, you know you're not supposed to Lashon Hara, and you try not to, and you generally don't, and you're just, you know. It sounds like, you know, sometimes, like, you're selling yourself short, you know. But I think a person who's just a gossiper is like, that's kind of what, you know, how they work.
I think they plan it.
I mean, they don't they plan it like I'm going to go and go. It's just kind of, this is where their mind is at. This is what they think about. They're trying to get approval and they think of different ways they could, you know, spread stories. Or, but I don't know, maybe it's not the best example. It depends on the example. You know? If it's a guy who's a thief, he's scheming how to steal money, how to work out a good scam.
Right, well, he has to go because otherwise he wouldn't be successful.
Yes, but yes, maybe. But he's more than that. You know, it's his mind is on the area. Because let's say it's in let's say it's sexual type of a thing. The thoughts, your mind is in the area. So there's like in general certain, I guess not every chet is like that, but there's an idea of fantasies where your energy is drawn to an area. Right?
Right.
And I think in general, chet does involve you in an area. It's a good question. I mean, maybe in the Lashon Hara, it's like part of your thoughts. I don't know, I'm wondering if like part of Lashon Hara is your world is like the social and your approval from like, you know, your peers and that type of a thing. Like maybe you may not be thinking about Lashon Hara, but like your energies are involved in that like framework of existence. You know, like kind of this relative social acceptance. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I guess there is like a certain thought involved though in what you choose to relay. Like,
right.
In how you say it.
Right. You see, maybe it's just like you have energy in the area. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, it may not be a thought out plan, but you have energy in the area of, you know, coming off
a certain way.
Yeah, right. Coming off a certain way, being able to put yourself in a certain light above other people or something like that. I mean, it's tricky because Lashon Hara is a tricky kind of chet. It's complicated, complex, different, you know. Yeah.
Okay, but in any event, have we answered why it's in the middle of two? Years?
Oh, yeah, no. So how does it work? So let me ask you a question. So do you think if a person's energy is in an area, right? So do you think that they think about it a lot? So do you think that maybe we'll have a better answer, but what will happen in terms of their mind thinking about an area is once they stop doing it? How do you think will be their mind, their energies in the area will go? If they do step one, how will that affect step two?
I think like Rachel said, like they're going to, I think she said this, that they're going to like, they have these little lot of self-control and hold themselves back a lot. And
right. So you mean they're going to think about it more?
They're going to probably think about it more.
Okay. I hear that.
Well, I think it depends on the situation. Sometimes they'll think about it more, but sometimes if you know it was a habit, you just needed to break away from it, you might think about it less.
Right. Well, that's what I could see saying is like both. At first, they're going to think about it more because their energy is in the area. They're not satisfying it in action, so they're going to be frustrated, and they're always going to, every time, you know, there's always going to be thinking, you know, whereas previously there's, so to speak, an outlet for that energy where you could satisfy it through talking Lashon Hara or whatever it is. Now it's like you want to do it, but you can't, and that's like painful and it's frustrating. So at first, I would think you're going to be thinking about it more, right? But then I would think what would happen is if you keep it up long enough, you end up thinking about it less, because this is the way the psyche is that you're, so to speak, your psychic energy is like fungible or malleable. Like it could go towards different areas. You could outlet it in different areas. It's almost like as an analogy of mourning. Person is a loved one, and they have a lot of energy invested in that person, and then they pass on, and it's very, very painful because you have all your whole life centers around them, and that's where you're attached to that person. But then and it's very frustrating, very painful, but you have to redirect the energy elsewhere because this painful energy is not being satisfied in that person, and it's painful, and you kind of have to, your mind naturally finds other outlets for the energy, other people which you invest, you know, you direct your energy towards, and somehow you end up healing. There's a process of mourning and then there's of healing, and you kind of reinvest your energy in different, different outlets. So I think in the chet also, a similar matter is like you have a lot of energy tied up in whatever chet it is, and insofar as you frustrate it and you stop doing it, so you end up, if you really hold out, you're not going to get any satisfaction in that area. Now you could just live a painful life where you're totally unsatisfied and frustrated all the time, but that's not stable. So either you're going to break and you're going to go back to it, or if you hold out, then your energy is going to kind of become removed from it, And you're just going to stop thinking about it because it's painful and it's frustrating when you think about it and think, oh, I want the lashon hara, I can't, I want it. So it's painful. And what happens is you end up going towards other areas. It's just not worth it. It's just, the reason you're thinking about it is because you're thinking in satisfaction. You're planning some sort of satisfaction, but so far as you could remove your energy and direct it elsewhere, hopefully you can direct it elsewhere. I mean, there is such a thing as a person who can't get over something, right? It's a person who's stuck and gets lost, like in mourning also. There's such a thing as a person who can't get over the loss of a certain person. But in general, the person is able to move on, to move the energies past something. And then they could, you know, stop thinking about it. Right? They can stop thinking about it. You with me? Okay, so are we done? Is the person done once that happens? If they manage to be ozeh the chayt, and then they remove it from their machshava.
Yeah, I think it seems like they finished still one more step.
Yeah. What's that to say that?
Yeah, right, still one more step, right?
But at that point, it seems like they're good.
At that point, it would seem like you would be good.
Yeah. What's going to cause them to relapse? Like,
okay. Well, you said before, didn't you?
Yeah, but now I don't
buy it. Yeah.
Well, it does seem like that would be effective in getting them not to do it again.
Okay, forever?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not in their thoughts.
You don't see that?
No.
Okay, why?
Because, like, let's say a situation comes up where, like, they really want to do it again. Like, they have to think about it, or is that going to happen, you know? Like, how is that going to...
Right. I think that's the point.
The
person hasn't truly changed. What they've done is in a certain sense, they've forced themselves to stop doing it for long enough that they kind of reinvested their energy elsewhere. And that could work for a certain amount of time. You know, but things happen. As I said before, things in life come up. Like you're saying, maybe there could be a situation which is especially trying. Maybe you meet a friend and there's a particularly juicy piece of gossip that you whatever could think would be great, and you know, or whatever the case may be. Or maybe you undergo some period of immense stress and you kind of need an outlet. Or I don't know, just life, you know, life has its challenges, you know, and a person, although you've managed to force yourself to leave your chayt, and you've managed to stop thinking about it and redirect your energy elsewhere, you always run the risk of falling back into the chayt. Okay? You always run the risk. Unless you do step three. How do you do step three? What is step three? How do you yigmar b'livo shalei yaseh vod? How is one to do that? What is that step, and how does it work? It seems to be what I'm supposed to do. I did step one and two. Didn't work. Works, you know. How do I lock it in? The all-important question. So you started saying something before now, and you still thought it was good.
I mean, maybe like this resolution on their part, but still I feel like what you said for Eva stands, that no matter how resolute a person is, there could be some trigger that they can't avoid, you know, the environmental influences that you know, trigger them to...
Okay.
But I guess I guess despite the triggers, if they are resolute, then.
So what makes them resolute?
Well, if the first step is willpower, then this step can also be willpower.
Okay. So what then?
What is that?
What then?
Oh, I don't know. I would say they're changing themselves, but I don't think that's too vague.
Too vague. Okay.
I think it's just, maybe I'm just simplifying it, but like, just that they're going to tell themselves, I'm not going to do it ever again, and that enough. Well, like, if they really take it upon themselves never to do it again, then they won't do it again.
Then maybe it's... Does that work?
It's not the same as the first time.
Has that not worked?
Just to
does
tell...
Does your experience, does that work?
I never tried it, honestly.
Maybe it's like that they
I don't think it does. I think it's a little. I think it just. It's a nice plan. Are you saying?
I just
think
it.
I don't think so. Because you tell yourself, but like you said, situations come up, and all of a sudden you stop telling yourself, and you change your mind. You know, like telling yourself is just. It's very nice to tell yourself right now. I'm definitely never, ever, ever going to do it, and you believe it. But somehow you become of a different mind when the going gets tough and when the situation changes.
Maybe it means that, like, you design, you like, I don't know if this makes any sense, but maybe, like, you design your life so that things like that don't come up, you know, and you, like, redesign your life almost. Like maybe if you used to tell that the lab lesson to her to one friend, you don't talk to her that much anymore. Or, like,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
And it's really like redesigning who you are, not. You have to redesign who you are because you can't.
You're redesigning your life. Yeah.
I know, but could you really do that successfully? Because, like, it's true you could do it pretty good, but all it takes is, like, one time to socially fall back to a bad habit. And, like, could you really protect. Like, you could isolate yourself and live in some bad home or whatever, right. But it's just not, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a nice theory, but it's just hard to. That plan works for a certain amount of time. But I just think eventually you end up, you know, you'll fall. Because the wrong situation comes up, and, you know. Like you said, not hanging out with a friend so much. But then that one time, and then, you know. And then one time becomes two times, and then, you know.
But maybe if you analyze, like, what's really driving you to.
Okay.
Like, participate in that behavior, and you.
Right.
Really understand it.
Right.
Maybe you could, like.
Right.
Like, lashon hara is still a good example. If you can realize, like, what insecurity in you is causing
right.
you to feel that you have
right.
to put others down
right.
to a third party,
right.
then you wouldn't nearly be as, like.
Right.
It wouldn't be necessary to speak it anymore,
right.
really.
Right. Okay. Okay, good. Good. I mean, I think the key word here is analyze. Okay? And that's one example. One example and one way within that example. But I think the point is that you have to, and as Tamar Gazir said, it's not just willpower. You have to understand why the chait is bad for you. Why it's wrong. Why you want to do it, but that's a part of you that wants to do it, but it's not worth it. And it's going to lead you down a path which is not a path you want to be on, which is going to harm you. And you have to understand that although there's a short-term pull and appeal of it, it promises you the world, it's a fake, it's an illusion. And it's so far as you understand that, and it's not some, I'm saying it like it's simple, but you have to kind of understand yourself, understand the problem, see how that leads you away from happiness, away from God, away from bit towards negative consequences. Insofar as your mind sees it as a trick, as an illusion, as a harmful activity, so that you'll see that it's silly. I'm never going to do that. It would be like if you see someone else's chait. Sometimes maybe a good example is pick your friend or your enemy or someone who has a chait that you see and you think it's silly, why they keep getting caught in that thing, you know? It's easy to see in other people sometimes. And you realize they get fooled by that thing every time, but it's silly. It doesn't make sense. Why are they doing that? It's harming them. It's destroying them. It's hurting their life. It's, you know? Like when, if you could step outside of yourself and analyze it from an objective standpoint and come to a clear conclusion and see why it's harmful, why it's bad, why you're being tricked, then you have a knowledge that it's bad, then you're not going to take it because it's harmful to you. Now, in order to do that, before, do you with me? I mean, I'm going to clarify a little bit, but are you with me at a basic level? Yeah, in order to be able to do that, it's not so easy. And I think in order to do that, you have to have the first two steps. Not only you have to, but in general you have to. I don't know if it's impossible to. But insofar as you're still attached to the chait, you're still doing it, you're still thinking about it, your energy is in the chait, it's very difficult to take a step back and make an analysis of it. because you're gaining satisfaction from it, your energies are attached to it, you're blinded by it in a certain sense, because you're still in it and you're dependent upon it. And you may think that you're convincing yourself, oh yeah, it's bad because blah, 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 you know, but fake arguments aren't going to work here. You have to really be able to have a clear-minded assessment of it. And insofar as you're biased and your emotions are in it, you know, you're going to, it becomes like not a clear analysis. So I think that step one and step two, and maybe this is another reason why you thinking about it isn't good, besides for the fact that practically you're going to fall back, but because you want to get yourself out of it. You want to break your attachment to it. Stop doing it. You stop thinking about it. Your energy is redirected. And now you could, as an outsider, look back at it. Of course, it was you, but it's still not you now. Now you can look back at it. Study it. Think into it. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? What are the bad? What's good about it? What's bad about it? You can look. You almost are like a way stepping outside of yourself, because it's your old self, but the new self, you removed yourself from it, at least for now. And now you could kind of see, well, what are the difficulties that may pull me back to it? What are the challenges involved? How could I avoid those challenges? Why are those challenges really just fake outs? And I believe them at the moment, but they're really not. You know, why? What am I going to deal with? How am I going to deal when I'm under stress? And that kind of throws me off. Why does that throw me off? Is it really legitimate to believe it? You know, to go with it? And it's kind of like, look at it with knowledge. And if you really have knowledge of something, I think that you're not going to fall for it. If you have a real knowledge, then you can say with commitment, I'm not going to do that. That's harmful. That's just like a person who's, let's say a person could look at an alcoholic, maybe as an example. Someone who's not an alcoholic could look at an alcoholic and say, listen, that guy's crazy, he's ruining his life, he's stuck on this problem, he has a problem and he can't get over it, but it's crazy, it's, you know. And you're not going to do that. Like, would you decide to be an alcoholic? Of course you wouldn't, because you see people who have this problem, and it's a problem, and it's harming them. So even if at a moment you may feel stressed out, you're not going to become an alcoholic because you see that it's harmful to, you know. So, but of course that's hard for that alcoholic to see that, and he's stuck in a problem. But if you could step aside and you could have knowledge of, see why it's harmful, see why it's not worth it. You know, even though it may sound like it's going to be worth it at the moment, so if you could come to a clear knowledge, then what you could do is, even at the moment, see, here's the point, I think, this is the part of the method, is if you could come to it with knowledge, you could come to a good conclusion, and even at the moment of the challenge, you could revisit that knowledge. You could, don't forget that knowledge. You have to kind of lock in the knowledge and get a good, solid idea. If you have a good idea, you're not going to forget that. And then even when the challenge arises, say, oh, I know that challenge, I've already thought this through, and you have the knowledge, and you make reference to that knowledge, and you could step, you know, you could use it, and it could work. And that's tricky. I mean, I'm making it sound, I'm just talking about it. I don't mean to sound like this is an easy type of thing or anything, but I think perhaps this is the problem I'm discussing. And then, if God, I think when you say God testifies that it's true. Because it's easy to fool yourself into think you're doing this. You have to be very, you know, this is tricky. Because you have to be really think a thing through, and it's easy to fool yourself into just use guilt to let make you feel like you've done it. Feel like you have to do it, I'm supposed to do it, and you've done it. But I think if you're successful at doing it, and you let yourself, you know, really get down to the depths of it, then you could come to a real change. What do you think?
Just ask you, it says, you're explaining by a serial nakshatra as like a natural consequence of stopping to do the thing. You're not, it's like another step.
Yes, sort of. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying it makes it easier.
Here it seems to be like a step, like you go three steps and you choose.
Right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. I mean, maybe there is, it's both, maybe. It's like, You stop doing it, and then you could, where are you going to go then? Now you're going to be frustrated. Now are you going to indulge the thoughts? And by doing that, you're going to keep yourself attached to it. Probably you're going to end up sliding back. Or are you going to forcibly try to redirect your energies. Maybe that's like the redirecting your energies. You know, it's like you think about it, it comes up. What are you going to do? Are you going to hold on to it, at least if not an action in your mind? Or are you going to say, stop, I'm not doing that, I'm going to learn. I'm going to whatever, I'm going to think about something else. I'm going to... And that's like, it's painful, but that's part of pulling yourself away from the chet and redirecting energies elsewhere. Like maybe your energies, I was making like your energies automatically be there, but maybe it's not so simple. Is you have to, you emotionally don't want to let them redirect because you want to still be attached to it. It's painful to give it up. So maybe you have to consciously stop thinking about it because they're like putting up a last fight, you know, so you're going to have to force yourself to stop, to not think about it. Know, and thereby fully extricate yourself from the draw. Right? I think that makes sense. Right. Right. You can't let yourself fall into the, you know, dwelling on it. Yeah. Good? Question? Okay, so it's a nice plan. See if it, works out. Got a few days to, 2 days? 2 days and a lifetime. You know? There's a short term plan and a long term plan. I mean, tshuva is a lifelong process. So, you know, it's in a certain sense, Yom Kippur could be depressing because this is very difficult. You know, but I think this, I think it's what the Rav said, is like, you gotta be like, maybe I mentioned this, don't be too ambitious. That you don't get very is like sometimes you have this feeling like I'm gonna never do these 20 things again ever. You know, it just doesn't work. That's not real. It's not, you can't. I think they're all said if you pick one thing, if you do a tshuva on and one you don't get very, that's a success. You don't get very. I think it's the wrong. But I think it's true. I mean, try to make headway in one area. This but type of like thing, you can't do so many things. Yeah.
It's hard to, when things don't come up so often, you know? Like I know I would do it if it came up, but it doesn't come up. You know what I mean?
Okay, do you mean?
Anyway, yeah, sorry. It's just like something I thought about.
No, that's true. But I mean...
You know what I mean? Like, how could you do tshuva? Like, if you're supposed to remove yourself from the sin, but how could you remove yourself if you don't even have the opportunity to ever
do this?
No, like once in a while you do, but like not...
I guess, you know I understand that. You mean I'm talking about a specific kind of a chet, which is like a recurrent type of a chet.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Like it's like every once in a while you can control yourself, but it doesn't really give you that like that frustration that you need in order to redirect your energies and.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you may maybe like maybe a chet which happens once in a while is really indicative of a midah. Which always exists.
Right.
It just doesn't express itself so often. Right. Like, let's say the thing of like a hangnail or something like that, or like a pimple or something, you know. So that might be a midah that you always have. It just happens to be, you know, you only have those things once in a while, so they only express themselves. But it's the attachment to your pimples as opposed to Shabbos, maybe, which is a character trait which you always have. It's something which you could abandon, even though it's not the, like the chet. The action is an expression of an underlying trait. That trait could be always exists. In there may be forms which seem innocuous, seem safe, and seem like they're no big deal, but maybe it's you're too attached to your looks and not to Shabbos. So now maybe you have to work on your looks. There's nothing wrong with caring about your looks, but. If it's to the point that you're gonna want that you're gonna be violating Shabbos because of it, so then it means that it's not healthy. You know, you're too attached to it. So that particular action of chet doesn't come up often, but your energy is in it all the time. You know, it just so maybe you could work on reassessing your midah relating to it. You know, chet. I'm more saying is like a chet is a symptom of a character trait, and. Could work on the chet through the character trait, and the character trait is usually constant. It just happened to be one time as the situation came up, but the character trait is there always.
And then also, when you're not in the throes of the emotion, you're almost in a better position.
Yeah, right. If it's something like that, maybe you could already be ozev it. You kind of just be, you know, maybe you don't have to. Maybe ozev it is a little easier if you're not constantly in it, because you're not in it. So maybe you don't have to, in a certain sense, maybe you could, you know, Now you don't. Maybe then you don't need that the first two steps necessarily as a prerequisite because you're already removed from it in a practical sense. Maybe it's like those steps are a little easier. What I'm more saying is like, so far as you're in it, that's going to prevent you from doing the analysis. But a chay, which is not like that, so maybe you could kind of try to, you know, push it all together. I don't think you have to wait till it comes up 10 times and then it's
right,
not, you know.
Right.
It could be, I'm saying it's more like a means to be able to do the third step. But oftentimes it's almost a necessary means. You know, I'm not saying though, it's interesting, I don't think it's impossible to do it. Like, by the way, so those Yom Kippur. So this type of a plan seems to be somewhat of a long-term plan, at least the way I'm describing it. But I don't know if it has to be. It could be you could kind of do an all-in-one shot, or you could somehow stop the chayit analyze. I don't know, I'm not sure. Or maybe just analyze it. It is possible for a person to analyze something even though their emotions are in the area. It's just very difficult because you end up getting caught up and you get blinded by emotions. But it's perhaps that you could do it. You know, it's just a challenge, and the better, you know, there's a model. This is like a model. You know, I don't say it's the only way to do it. I'm not sure, though. I'm just, you know. Yeah. But it's worth, you know, trying these things and seeing how, you know, especially over the next few days before, you know, like Mardin's. It's probably worth trying to see if we can make some headway in our, you know, Lachatayim and see where, you know, if we could be zechut to better than. Okay, I mean, there is a time constraint. You know, it's always good to do tshuva, but Yerushal Shem Yimatzel, Kuru Yosakaro, I'll say means during these days. So there's a reality to then, and has the best time, and the easiest time because we're involved in the ideas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Alrighty, so, we'll see what happens. I guess next week is our Sukkot, and you're going to be away. Yeah, and then so I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll. It's a good chance we'll just pause.
Well, I might not be here.
Okay, yeah. So we'll probably just pause the last Sukkot, I would think. Okay, well, we'll be in touch.